You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are speaking with Mark Ahn, PhD, a principal at Pucana Partners Limited that provides strategic consulting to life science companies. Mark also serves on public and private boards of directors in biotech companies. Mark, certainly a privilege to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. Great to be here.
So tell us, what's new in entrepreneurship for starters?
Well, you know, entrepreneurship has, I think it's two-handed. It's a little bit of a mixed picture, Eric. On the one hand, things couldn't be brighter. We've got great innovations coming out. Digital media, for example, is opening up a lot of new vistas. Our applications of digitizing the economy, for example, Uber and Airbnb are companies that are just unlocking resources that were already there, but through their resourcefulness and being able to apply app technology, for example, and payment technology, creating, you know, multi-billion dollar companies. The digitization of life sciences and biology is opening up new vistas, ways of trying to make personalized medicine finally realize its promise of specific drugs for specific patients, and that's a really exciting part of the of our horizon as well. And of course, the continued globalization of capital markets. These three things, I think, are twinning, or if you will, to become strong pillars. You know, driven by the access to capital, is having more exciting times for entrepreneurs and entrepreneurial companies to be getting in the game and building scalable companies.
Who should be concerned about startup activity currently?
Well, I think we all should, because while there's a lot of opportunity and excitement around new innovation and technology and capital, there's also a declining rate of participation in the entrepreneurial economy. And of course, that has huge implications because, you know, over 90% of the new jobs, for example, that are created in our great nation is created by startup companies or new companies. And that is been something that's held, you know, true since, you know, for 100 years, basically. So on one hand, you've got this great opportunity. And on the other hand, folks aren't joining the entrepreneurial economy at the pace and the clip that they have been. And it's really vital to the economic engine of the United States, not only in terms of new jobs, but creating new companies and creating value. And of course, ultimately raising the standard of living. And so I think we all have to be concerned about some of the impediments that might be holding people back from doing that. You know, one of them, of course, is our great recession that we just came out of that made folks or some folks a little bit more sanguine or cautious about getting into what they perceive as, you know, riskier activities. Number two, of course, we have students coming out with a lot of student debt. And of course, where we've had the largest fall off in entrepreneurial startups has been in that 20 to 30-year-old category. I think the weight of, you know, student debt has, you know, something to do with their ability or capacity or proclivity for starting new companies as well. And of course, some of these companies, particularly in life sciences, where you've got the most capital going into, it does take, you know, experience and additional, if you will, gray hair to get into. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but this lower participation rate, and, you know, I think, for example, you know, maybe the government can help with the with student loans or with making them more bearable for these folks, or making participation in the entrepreneurial economy easier and easier, because it's vital to our economic progress.
Today we are joined by Mark Ahn, PhD, a principal at Pucana Partners Limited that provides strategic consulting to life science companies, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Mark, we've discussed entrepreneurship in general. What's different about life sciences entrepreneurship?
Sure. So, Eric, the life science entrepreneurship has really shifted over time. So, a few generations ago, it was all about numbers. You had to have a third army, thousands of people looking for locks and keys and chemistry, locks into receptor keys into, biological process. And the way you did trials was to do them on thousands of people, hoping that it would work in, 10, 20, 30% of them. And that would lead to these blockbuster opportunities. However, it didn't work for, often a majority of patients. And these folks were on chronic drugs. And the world has completely shifted from thousands of people to specific, digitization of cellular biology. So now we can work with a needle of haystacks instead of looking for a needle in a haystack. And by that, I mean that we now know where these genetic switches are, that either are single switches or polygenetic or multiple switches in genes that can either turn off or impede a biological process and hopefully arrest a disease, for example, or allow a patient to make an enzyme that they would normally make on their own. So just as a specific example would be, genetic ultra orphan diseases where there are small numbers of patients, like in MPS1, in the few thousands, needing enzyme replacement therapy on a weekly basis. The companies now are looking at ways to treat these same patients by drawing their blood, isolating a few of their cells, putting corrective DNA into them, growing them outside of the body, in other words, replicating them, and then reinfusing into the patient so that the patient can engraft those cells, and basically they become their own drug factories where they're able to make that corrective protein. It's for them, by them, and they with one infusion, they can be cured from that particular disease. Already we have one such commercialization in a company called Unicure, which is for hemophilia A, where a blood disorder where you need to take infusions, bimonthly infusions that would cost upwards of $100,000 a year, for example, for the rest of your life because of the risk of bleeding, et cetera. And with one injection, Unicure is able to make that, have that patient make their own factor 9 and ameliorate those the risk of that bleed out and basically have a curative intent. Now, of course, a one-time single injection or single treatment cure completely changes the economics from of the drug industry from making chronic, two or three times a, pill a day kind of thing where it only works for 10% of the people to making a designer drug for that patient that will basically arrest a major disorder. So the entire treatment spectrum becomes completely changed, and now we can address not only these chronic diseases, but we can also address in a more robust way complex diseases that have are completely unmet medical needs. For example, Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease, these neurodegenerative diseases that are so difficult to get to, orphans or ultra-orphan diseases, because where the whole arc of the market is going is instead of having these single treatment, Model T type therapies that are one for everybody, we're going to a world where one patient, in personalized medicine, and we're finally at the dawn of this kind of treatment, and it's very, very exciting to be part of that.
Most definitely. And lastly, what new approaches are emerging in life sciences entrepreneurship?
Well, we need a little bit of new of everything. On the one hand, we need to continue to pursue great science. And as I said, instead of looking at the large arc of going for, you know, one shot that would cure tens of thousands of patients or a fraction of them, now we're looking for very high affinity, where you have a much higher efficacy rate for those specific patients. So needing new biology, however daunting that sounds, what's really neat is that with very small numbers of people, you make a huge amount of progress. So in the large pharmaceutical model, the business model, if you will, is changing. Companies are either shifting and changing or basically becoming, you know, dinosaurs. And so some of the large companies like Roche, for example, are changing from the inside out. And some of the small companies are becoming larger companies like Gilead and Biogen IDEC, for example, Amgen, are continuing to bring these smaller products. You know, BioMarin, as a specific example, has a number of orphan products, none of which are in the thousands of patients, but on a combined basis, make up a multi-billion dollar powerhouse. And so the business model has fundamentally changed from this large approach to a more private approach. And I think that's exciting as we enter into an era of orphan diseases, as well as things like checkpoint inhibitors to turn on a patient's own immune system to fight their cancers, which is becoming more and more prevalent with the first three drugs of this kind approved. So the business model has changed the way that we're looking at the patient and creating patient-centered companies, not just technology-centered companies, is very exciting. It's unlocking a lot of potential. It's also going to cause a lot of change and turmoil in the company, and of course, in companies. And with that, of course, is opportunities for entrepreneurs to start companies, look at things in a different way, completely come in with new business models to exploit the power of these technologies so that we can create scalable companies from scratch that can either be taken public or merged into existing companies to take advantage of their infrastructure. But there's never been a time that I can think of in my 25 years in life sciences that has been more exciting, more tractable ways for patients to be able to access a range of potential treatments, for regulators to be switched on in terms of adjudicating and bringing these products to the bedside, and hit what I think is the kind of, I guess I call the kind of the three B's, from the bench and the lab and the discovery to the bedside to patients to the business models. These the three B's are getting locked in and become more tractable in a way that has never been before. And I'm very excited about the future of life sciences entrepreneurship as a result.
Well, tell our listeners, if you would, where they can get more information and also find you online.
Sure. Our website is at www.bucanapartners.com. Be happy to we have a number of resources on there. Thrilled to share some of our work, past work on life science entrepreneurship, translational development, and clinical development, as well as commercialization planning for small and large companies.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for taking a moment to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly look forward to an opportunity of your joining us again in the future.
Thanks, Eric. It was really a pleasure.
Likewise, it certainly was. We've been speaking with Mark on PhD, a principal at Pucana Partners Limited that provides strategic consulting to life science companies. And once again, the website of reference is PucanaPartners.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.